The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father, who sees what is hidden, will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. We're continuing today with the Sermon on the Mount, once again, the highest standard of morality that's ever been proclaimed, and once again, something that you could meditate on for a lifetime, any part of it. Today, Jesus tells us about the need for prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Now, these three have been called the three pillars of the spiritual life. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, three pillars, you need them all. If any of these is deficient, you've got a deficient spiritual life. And that's why Jesus speaks in such certain terms. He doesn't say, if you pray. He says, when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms. Okay, so of these three, though, I just want to look at just one today, and that is prayer. Because prayer is one of those things that everybody knows that they're supposed to be doing. Kind of like getting exercise and eating salads, right? We all know we're supposed to be doing it, but we don't know what to do. So just a closer look at prayer today and maybe a couple of thoughts that might help. The first thing to understand about prayer is that it takes time. If you don't take time to pray, you won't pray. That means you have to plan it. That means you have to schedule it. Personally, I think that people should pray in the morning. It's the only time in the day in which nobody's going to wake up and interrupt you, right? It's almost always yours, except for the rare occasion. Personally, I think that everybody can spend at least 30 minutes a day in prayer. It's not too much. Why 30 minutes? Because it's about how much time it takes to make a decent connection with somebody. 30 minutes. I haven't turned on the television in years, but last time I did, there wasn't a program on television that was shorter than 30 minutes. Whenever I make an appointment with somebody in my office, I never make an appointment that's less than 30 minutes, because that's how long it takes to get from point A to point B, okay? If you can't do 30, well, geez, at least give it 10, at least give it 15, but start. And understand it's a commitment, it's going to take time. Now, once you've taken time to pray, the next question comes to people's mind is, what do I do? How do I pray? Very little instruction given out there in how to pray. So very, very briefly, three things, right? Three things to do in prayer. You want to do all three of these. You want to speak. Listen and just be. A little tiny word about each one of those three. First of all, speak. When most people pray, they speak pious thoughts and contrived words, as if they're afraid that if they spoke what was really on their mind and heart, that it would be irreverent. But guess what? God already knows what's really on your mind and heart, so you might as well say it. Two key words here, honesty and simplicity. And I think in this, we could stand to learn a lot from the prayers of small children. You ever heard the prayers of small children? Terribly honest. Now, just for fun, I rifled through my notes, and I came up with some prayers that small children had written and shared with me, and I'll share with you right now. Okay? Here's one from a girl named Jane. She says, "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now?" Here's one from a girl named Joyce. She says, "Dear God, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." Last two I don't have names for. She says, "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in all the world. There's only 4 people in my family, and I can't do it. Dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, you can have anything you want except my money or my chess set." Right? Terribly, terribly honest. Please, so when you go to pray, keep that small child idea in your mind. Nothing contrived, nothing artificial, simple and honest. Okay. But there's more to do than just speak. You also want to listen. Most people, when they go to pray, all they ever do is speak, and they never listen. And this is very important. How do you listen in prayer? Well, what you do is you take a passage of scripture or you take a ready-made prayer that you're already saying and you slow it down. And I mean you slow it way down. And classically, this is known as Lectio Divina. You take one line of scripture. For example, I love the Psalms. There's almost always something in the Psalms that you can meditate on. So maybe you're in a conversation. Maybe somebody's, I don't know, bellyaching about the government the way people do. And there's a line in the scriptures that's just perfect for it. And you pray about it. For example, blessed is the one who puts his trust in the Lord, who does not give his heart to men, who does not trust in princes. Just pray about that. Or you take a line from a prayer that you're already saying, like the Our Father. It's a treasure trove. Take that line, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And you talk to God about it. You say, "Lord, I understand that the measure of my receiving is going to be the same as the measure of my giving. So I ask you, please help me to increase the measure of my giving because I need a heck of a lot of receiving." Slow it down and pray about it. But be careful. Be careful that you don't spend all of your prayer time just talking, 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 talking. Rosaries, litanies, liturgy of the hours, always speaking, never listening. It's imbalanced, and you're not going to be healthy. Not if you don't spend time listening. The third thing you want to do, and it might strike people as odd, just be. You don't have to say a word, you don't have to read a word, you don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there and realize God knows you, and you know God, and God knows you with all of your faults and loves you, and you just sit there in that, and just you're in God's presence, just being. And the next thing you know, your prayer time is up, and you just had a magnificent time spent in prayer, not saying a word, not listening to a word, just simply being in his presence. And you know what I've just done for you in describing these three things? I've just told you the three kinds of prayer from St. Teresa of Avila's interior castle. Vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. Or to put it in layman's terms, speaking, listening, and just being. What is prayer but lifting up your mind and heart to God? It's very secret. It's very private. It's known just to you and your Heavenly Father, but that's okay. Because your Father, who sees what is done in private and in secret, will repay you. Amen.